Hi guys, welcome back to the Grow Jazz podcast. I'll be bringing you fitness education with practical application, and today we are talking creatine 101. I wanted to create an episode where I could put anything and everything you need to know about creatine supplementation into one place so that it answers your questions, your concerns, and I will very likely be passing this episode on to anyone who has concerns and questions about creatine in the future. So if I've done that for you, hello, I hope this answers your question. And we can just get straight into it with explaining a bit about what creatine actually is. And creatine's a naturally occurring molecule, so it's not this kind of random substance we're putting in the body. It is already created in our body, and by supplementing with it, we are just topping up those stores. But creatine is a molecule, and it's made up of amino acids, and it's going to be created in the body mainly by in our liver, but also in your kidneys, in your pancreas, and it's stored as phosphocreatine, meaning it's stored with kind of phosphate groups attached, basically. And so the as I said, the body does create it, but we can also consume it through food. Foods like red meat are a good source of creatine, and some fish are as well. Now, when we're doing high intensity exercise, like lifting, for example, our energy source is called ATP, which is an acronym for adenosine triphosphate. And so we use that ATP as our energy source for active muscles. The tri of the triphosphate means there's three phosphate groups on the molecule. When this ATP molecule is broken down into ADP, so adenosine diphosphate, di meaning two, we lose one of those phosphate groups, and the loss of that phosphate group releases energy, and that energy is used for the muscle contractions. Enter creatine. As we said, this creatine is being stored as phosphocreatine in the muscle cells. So when our ATP has lost its phosphate group and it's become ADP, if we want those muscles to be able to kind of the activity of the muscles to kind of stay high, we need to regenerate that ATP. So we need to give the ADP a phosphate group. So phosphocreatine donates its phosphate group and reforms the ATP. So the TLDR of that is that creatine regenerates the energy source we need for muscle contractions during a set. With that knowledge, we can then understand why creatine can improve our training performance, because it allows us to maintain our ability to kind of contract our muscles and generate force for longer throughout a set. And better performance within your sets in the gym is going to equal a bigger muscle building stimulus equals more muscle growth. So it's not a case of you take creatine, muscles automatically get bigger and stronger. It is a way to help us improve our training performance and therefore create a better muscle building stimulus, so give us better, more potential for growth and strength development. Now, there's also research suggesting that creatine has other benefits, such as cognitive benefits, so kind of mental benefits, like improving working memory. It has been shown to help reduce mental fatigue in situations that are kind of mentally demanding, and it can also help and kind of benefit when we're experiencing sleep deprivation. So even for people who don't lift or train at all, creatine is a wise supplement to be taking for pretty much everyone. So I guess that kind of leads us on is to the question, should I be taking creatine? Now, if you want to optimize your strength and muscle growth, and or you care about kind of cognitive performance and that kind of thing as well, research massively backs kind of creatine as being a good supplement to do so. But it doesn't work if you don't. So it aids your performance. It's not some kind of like steroid that, as I said, doesn't suddenly make you more muscular. Just to reiterate, we do already have creatine in our body. Supplementing is just filling up those stores. So if that's kind of enough reason for you to be taking it, let's think about how we take it. So the recommended dose is going to be 3 to 5 grams of creatine every day. And there doesn't seem to be any need to load it. Kind of loading would mean a period at first of doing much higher doses before then coming down to a kind of a more regular dose. There doesn't seem to be a need to do that. Yes, it will saturate your stores faster. So if you think of kind of like a half empty cup, over the first few weeks of taking creatine, we are supplementing each day and we're gradually filling up that cup until it remains full. And then obviously when we train, when we do exercise, when we just move our bodies, we use some of those stores. It gets replaced each day. We're kind of we're supplementing with it just to keep it topped up, but the initial kind of few weeks will be actually your cup is only half full at the minute. So we, over the first few weeks, we're topping it up, and then from there we're trying to maintain it being full and topped up and saturated. So yes, if you do a loading process, which would mean just taking a lot at once, yes, your cup is going to be filled faster, but it might also increase the likelihood of side effects like kind of nausea or stomach cramps or diarrhea. So I'd just recommend start taking 3 to 5 grams per day every day, and you don't seem to need to cycle it either. So it's not something we need to come off of or anything like that. Just every day, don't think about it. 3 to 5 grams. Now, if you do experience any of the side effects like nausea, stomach cramps or diarrhea, you'll want to make sure you're staying really well hydrated. And if you're still having problems, you could think about spreading the dose, that 3 to 5 dose across the day and having it with your meals. So at the same time as meals, but honestly, that is very rarely needed. Most people will be fine and not experience any kind of effects like that. In terms of what type of creatine we want to be taking, creatine monohydrate is the most well-researched, effective and kind of cheapest form, so go with that. Creatine monohydrate, either in powder form or you can get them in kind of tablet form. I personally just use the one from MyProtein, so I'll leave a link to that below if you want to kind of pick that up from there. If you are using the powdered form, you can mix it with water in your coffee, in a protein shake, with squash, or you can even like put it in foods. I actually do that quite a lot, so I might like stir it into my protein oats or into some yogurt. It literally doesn't matter how you do it and what time of day you take it, but my best advice would just be adding it to a meal or drink that you're already having so that you don't forget. So maybe you always have an afternoon protein shake, so add it to that. Maybe you always have a glass of squash or juice with your breakfast, add it to that. So, you know, something that you won't kind of forget. But if you do forget or miss a day or two, doesn't matter, you know, don't stress about it. Just start taking the same dose again the next day. So we kind of touched on potential side effects, but let's talk about kind of a few more that people seem to be concerned about. Now, when you start taking creatine, you will maybe see a small increase in the number on the scale, but that does not matter. And that's because the presence of creatine within your muscle cells, so that's where creatine is stored, it's within the muscle cells, and it's stored with water molecules, meaning that you will have more water molecules retained within your muscle cells. So it is not fat, it is not bloat, that water is within the muscle cells. So as I said, it's not going to make you look bloated or watery. In fact, it might actually make your muscles look better because they might look a bit fuller and more shapely if you have more water stored within those cells. So that, you know, that small, you know, many people, particularly if you don't have a large amount of muscle mass, you might not even see any change in body weight. If you do, it might be 1 to 2 pounds, maybe for the first, you know, 1 to 2 weeks kind of across that period, you may see a small increase in the number on the scale. That should then plateau. If you are continuing to gain weight over the next few months, that's not creatine. That is going to be you probably being in a calorie surplus. That's either going to be a combination of muscle and or fat. So that if you're continuously gaining weight, it's not because of creatine. If you do take too much at once, it can cause kind of some stomach discomfort for some people. So to combat that, obviously make sure you're just taking 3 to 5 grams. If you are, as I said, you know, you can try splitting your serving up in two and having them at different times of day and kind of at the same time as food. But again, not too many people experience those effects. A few more kind of areas of sometimes, you know, that like with anything, there's always these kind of myths or concerns and that kind of thing that swirl around on social media. So one of them being, is creatine safe for the kidneys? And the answer is, in people with healthy kidneys, long-term supplementation is safe, but there are no long-term kind of creatine studies for people with kidney issues. So if you do have kidney issues, you may want to say, actually, you know what, because there's no kind of long-term studies on people with my issue, I'm going to avoid it. Totally fine. But for people with healthy kidneys, it has been shown to be totally safe. And then finally, creatine and hair loss. So only one study, and it was back in 2009, has linked creatine supplementation with an increase in DHT. So DHT is this androgen that can contribute towards hair loss. Bear in mind, the study did not find hair loss itself. It just found a small increase in the androgen DHT. And since then, many other studies have shown that creatine does not affect testosterone levels, and DHT is a product of testosterone breakdown. So those studies suggest that creatine may not actually increase DHT anyway. You know, we know that one study cannot, you know, there's a number of factors that can impact hormones and such as DHT, so that there is no clear direct relationship between creatine and hair loss itself. So yes, the current consensus is creatine does not cause hair loss. If it is something you are prone to or you're particularly worried about and you want to be super duper duper safe and remove stress or worry, or you're like, you know, start taking creatine and you're checking the mirror every day to see if you're losing your hair, just don't take the creatine. As I said, it's been all the research, you know, the conclusion of the research shows that there is no link. But if you're stressing out about it, it's not worth the stress. Yeah, the stress might cause your hair to fall out more than the creatine anyway. So I just leave it. But I'd say that's a pretty comprehensive look at creatine supplementation. It really is nothing magic. It's not a supplement that you're going to start taking and you're suddenly going to find yourself feeling 10 times stronger. In fact, you probably won't even feel a difference at all. But the science of it, the way it works, does show that it supports your training performance, it supports your cognitive performance. Don't expect to go in the gym feeling like Superman, you know, 2 weeks after starting taking it, because you're probably not going to feel that difference. But, you know, it has the effect of creatine is to regenerate our energy stores, and obviously that is going to be beneficial for training performance. And so it is probably worth taking it if you're already optimizing everything else. Now, if your nutrition is here, there and everywhere, you're not hitting your protein targets plenty of days, you know, your calories are super high one day, then you undereat the other day, and you know, you're not training consistently, I turn around and say, let's focus on the foundations and the basics first. You know, let's get your nutrition in a good place, let's get your training in a good place. And really, with any supplementation, we want to be focused on the big blocks first. And let me tell you, you know, nailing your protein intake and getting the right amount of calories and that kind of thing is going to do 100 times more for you than, you know, supplementing with creatine is. But if you're already checking all your other boxes and you're in a really good place and you want to optimize these things, creatine is a good idea. And, you know, recommend it to your family. You know, it's really great for cognitive performance, it's great for the elderly population due to that as well. So, you know, creatine isn't just for kind of lifters and athletes, it seems to be a really positive thing for kind of the entire population, really. So hopefully that answers your questions. Obviously, if there's anything you want to kind of discuss with me further, you know, my DMs or emails are always open and I'm happy to help. As I said, I'll leave a link to the creatine I use below. It's cheap, it's easy to get. I do have a discount code for my protein as well, so it's even cheaper, and I'll put that in the show notes below as well if you want to get your hands on it. Hopefully that answers all your questions, and of course, I'll speak to you all again next week.